Let's pray. Father, it is well with our soul. Father, we want to serve you. We want to trust you. We want to be the person you created us to be. But we need you inside of us to do that, Father. We can't do it on our own. But we know that even if we don't see it, even if we don't hear it, if we don't feel it, Father, we know that you are worthy to be praised and that you care for us and that you have a plan for us, Father. Father, may we take our eyes off ourselves and put our eyes on you today, in Jesus' name. In the scripture verse today, I'm going to be in Mark, the 8th chapter. I'm going to read as the scripture says, and Jesus went on with the disciples to the village of Caesar Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" Have you ever asked that question yourself? You ever ask, "Who do people say I am?" You know, that's something we want to know. People won't always tell us, so we want to ask other people, "Well, who does this person say about me?" That's where Jesus was here. And they told him, "Some say John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Christ." And he strictly charged them to tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man may suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said to him, "Get behind me, Satan, for you're not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." And calling the crowd to him and his disciples, he said to them, "If anyone wants to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whosoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." You know, Peter was always out in front of the disciples, wasn't he? It seemed like Peter was always the one to speak first. You know, he was the one many times that put his foot in his mouth, many times. When Jesus asked the disciples, well, who do people say I am? You know, they said they thought maybe John the Baptist, Elijah, one of the other prophets. But then Jesus turned it to them and said, well, who do you say I am? Who am I to you? Peter answered the question, you are the Christ, which means the Messiah. Peter answered correctly and he had the right answers, but he had it for the wrong reasons. You'll see that Peter was one of the thousands of other Jews who were just waiting for the Messiah to come. And they knew Jesus was the Messiah, and they had great expectations for their Messiah. There was a lot in it for the Jews when the Messiah came. They've been waiting thousands of years for this Messiah. The Messiah was going to destroy their enemies. We're going to return the kingdom of Israel to its rightfully placed, bring in a great age of peace. Man, there was a... They just couldn't wait to see all the great things that Jesus was going to do for them. Especially Peter. Peter was thinking in his head, man, I can't wait to see what Jesus is fixing to do for me. Well, Jesus promptly started busting the bubble of Peter. It's after he said to Peter, you're right, Peter, I am the Messiah. But I'm not the Messiah that you're thinking about. I'm not the Messiah you've been expecting. I'm the Messiah. I'm going to have to suffer many things. He said that in the scripture that the elders and the chief priests and the scribes would all reject him. That he was going to be killed. But then in 3 days he was going to rise again. This is not what Peter wanted to hear. This is not the Messiah that Peter and the other Jews have been waiting on. So the Bible says that Peter began to rebuke Jesus. Peter had a whole different view of what the Messiah was coming for. You weren't coming to suffer. You're going to resurrect us. You're going to restore Israel. That's what you're here for. And Jesus looks at Peter and says, get behind me, Satan. Man, what a cut to have Jesus Christ say to you, get behind me, Satan. You're not on the side of God, you're on the side of man. We're not told in the scripture how Peter responded to this rebuke, but I'm sure he didn't know what to think. He was so pleased that the Messiah was here, and he had so many plans, so many things for Jesus to do for him. Because see, Peter's idea of the Messiah was built on his dreams and his hopes. What Peter wanted, what Peter needed, what Peter hoped for. Peter was wrong. And he was backwards. Peter had connected his idea of what the Messiah was to his own hopes and dreams and didn't realize the importance of what the Messiah was going to do, not just for the Jews, but for the whole world.
Amen.
You know what? There are a lot of Peters in the world here today. There are a lot of people who are turning to Christianity because they've heard somebody say something. This is what's in it for you. This is what Jesus is promising to you. And they begin to tell them that if you believe in Jesus, all your physical ailments will leave instantly. If you believe in Jesus, all your enemies would be destroyed. If you believe in Jesus, all your financial needs are going to be met. You'll hear preachers say, if you'll just send money to my ministry, you're going to prosper. I've heard all these promises, and so have you. You have everything to gain and nothing to lose by becoming a Christian, they tell us. It's the Christianity that's what's in it for me. Jesus rejected this what's in it for me Christianity. When Peter had it, he rejects it now. Any Christianity that doesn't require suffering is not true Christianity. Satan always wants us to accept Christ with the idea that it's just something there for us. There's no sacrifices to be made. It's all about what's in it for us. I think that's why Jesus said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan," because he sounded just like Satan when Jesus was in the wilderness and was being tempted by Satan. He told him, command these stones to become loaves of bread. Or he said, throw yourself down from the temple and watch the angels catch you, lift you up. Or just fall down and worship me. And the kingdoms of the world and all their glory will be yours. That's what's in it for you, Jesus. Just do this thing, and this is what's in it for you. Jesus rebuked Satan then and told him to be gone, Satan, and was obedient to God. Because Jesus is not interested in a Christianity that's all about what's in it for me.
Right, yeah.
And I'm sure when Peter's words were to Jesus, when he said, yeah, I mean, you don't have to suffer, Jesus, you don't have to suffer. You're the Messiah. Messiahs don't suffer. You can have it all, Jesus. That's what Satan was telling him. You can have it all, Jesus. It's all for you. And there's no cost. There's no sacrifice. There's nothing. It's just all you have to do is accept Jesus Christ and your life is changed for the best. And you will always have everything. We know that's not what Christianity is, isn't it? We know, if you've ever been, if you are a Christian, you know that's not what it is. Jesus proceeded to lay out the expectation. You want to be my disciple? You want to be my follower?
Amen.
This is what you need to do.
Amen.
If anyone wants to come after me, deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me.
Amen.
What's in it for me, Jesus? Jesus says, for whoever wants to save his life must lose his life. And whosoever loses his life for my sake in the gospel will find it. Jesus, the suffering Messiah, is calling us to a service of suffering. That's what's in it for us. And now we're faced with this temptation. You know, seeing these things where the devil's on one shoulder and the angel on the other shoulder. And you hear these two voices talking. And we have one voice telling us that we can accept Jesus Christ, end all human suffering. We can have a crossless version of Christianity. And it's all about us. Or we can listen to the other voice, the voice of Jesus, telling us that our life has to be about suffering for the sake of the gospel and for other people.
Amen.
It's about picking up a cross daily.
Amen.
Not weekly, not monthly, daily. So we're certainly tempted to think of only ourselves. We're tempted to follow this path that promises immediate results. I mean, why after all should we want to follow after a suffering Messiah? Why would we want to have all this suffering and turmoil and pain? When we deny the voice of Christ, we deny the very existence of our creation. When God created Adam, he looked down at Adam. And then he created Eve. Why? Because he looked at Adam and saw it wasn't good for him to be alone. We were created to be in fellowship with other people.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we were created.
Amen.
Jesus understands this. When they asked Jesus one time, what's the greatest commandment of all? And I know y'all know this. But I'll tell you what that is. Jesus says to love God, but don't just stop there. Got to love other people. And how do you love these other people? As you love yourself. So we have to love ourselves. We have to love other people. But mostly we have our allegiance. God is first place in our life. Those are the commandments that Jesus said are the most important.
Amen.
We were created to be with other people. We were created to help other people. That's why God created us. When we're tempted to put our own needs in first place in our lives, we sin against God. Mm-hmm. When we put the focus on our lives, we lose what's really important to us. Mm-hmm. What's in it for me is the question of a sinner. That's the question that the world will ask all the time. You want to do something? What's in it for me? What do I get out of it? What do I get? And that's just the opposite of what Christianity is. The good news for us, as we're to have to suffer in our Christianity, that we have the example set for us by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That means when we live our lives for other people, we never walk alone. When we focus our lives on other people, we follow the path that Jesus walked. His suffering is our suffering.
That's right. Amen.
The cross we carry is His cross.
Amen.
His pain is the pain that He endured.
Amen.
His death is the death that we must die.
Amen.
And finally, triumphantly, His resurrection is the new life that we experience in eternity with God. Truly, it is said, I don't know how to tell you any truer than this. You have to lose your life to yourself to find your life in Christ. You have to have your eyes off of yourself and eyes focused on Christ in order to get where you want to go. When we say to God, what's in it for me? God says, this is what's in it for you. You pick up your cross and follow me. You lose your life for the sake of others and for the gospel. Then you're going to find your life. It's when we give, that's when we receive. It's when we lose that we actually win.
Right.
It's when we die that we become born again.
Amen.
You know, when we baptize somebody, one of the things that we say in the Baptist denomination, I don't know if other denominations say this or not, but we say when we put somebody under, we talk about how they're dying to the world. raised in a new walk, a renewness of life. That's what Christ gives us. When we give up our life of ourselves, that's what's in it for us, my friends. That's what we get when we truly accept Christ. If you're living your life today and you're asking yourself the question, what's in it for me? You're asking the wrong question.
That's right. Amen.
Ask yourself, what can I do for somebody else?
Amen.
What can I do for God? Because God has done all this for me. It's not about what's in it for me. It's what can I do for God and other people.
Amen.
That's what Christianity is about.
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we read the scriptures, we think about the ideas and things that Peter expected from the Messiah. And Father, we hear this so much today, how so many promises are made by people that if you'll just turn to Christ, all these things will happen, Father. But Father, we need to listen to your words. We need to read your scripture and understand it's not about us. It's about God. And it's about what we can do for other people. Father, may we understand that. As we're trying to live this Christian life and we're trying to keep one foot in the world saying, okay, Father, this is what I need. When are you going to give it to me? And what's in it for me? Father, may we surrender it to you. Give it up to you, Father. And say, Father, I want your will to be done in my life. I want to lose my life so I can gain a new life in Christ.
Amen.
Father, I know that there are people here today struggling with some hardships and troubles, Father. And we've heard this afternoon how there's so much pain and suffering going on, Father. Father, may we turn these times of suffering and pain and agony, Father, may we get on our knees, Father, and pray, Father, I trust you in this. Even if I don't see results right now, Father, I believe in you. My faith is in you. I trust in you. And you alone can deliver me from this. And Father, I'm going to just be like you said. Just pray constantly, seeking your will to be done in our lives. And Father, confessing sin that we have in our lives. And Father, asking again and again and again, Father, what can I do for you, God, today? How can I bless you today, Father?
Yes.
How can I be more like Jesus today, Father? Yes. May we ask those questions today and not ask what's in it for me, Jesus. I pray that our hearts will change and our spirit will change to be more like Jesus every day. Father, I thank you and bless the people here today. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name. Amen.
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 We've had an invitation today. We need that again. I appreciate all those that needed somebody.